1776 today.
A new report out shows that states, some of them anyway, are lowering test standards for diploma. Wow, they didn't do that when I was around. How about you? In the meantime, sadly, a huge earthquake in Haiti, 7.0 on the Richter scale. Don't even know how many people are dead at this point as they're fast and furiously digging out all around Port-au-Prince, 10 miles outside of that city, which was a major hub, is where the quake actually struck. But again, you have such poverty there. The UN offices there were hit, and the palace itself was hit. The president apparently is okay, but there are people missing, and you know, it's basically scramble time. That's what happens when you have a devastating quake of that magnitude, and then the aftershocks that ensue. Luckily, no tsunami as a result of that anywhere near the area, but sad as the people there continued to try to figure out what to do. And the U.S., of course, is right now sending rescue teams to Haiti. And then how many Americans are trapped? Because you have Americans who are over there volunteering. And they think at this point maybe two Americans were trapped. So awful stuff. We'll give you whatever we know as we move along here on ATM. Also coming up a little bit later in the show, we have the Daily Salute. Got two great stories to tell you about. With all this wickedly awful news that we're always hashing about, I thought it'd be good to bring back the DS here on ATN for 2010, and we're doing just that on this show, the first one so far swinging into the new year. Still in Washington, the fallout continues to be not just all health care and who's going to be on board and ultimately is there enough and melding the health care between the versions of the House and the Senate and all that stuff and what Obama's administration or what he's pushing for basically wants to see happen. And that's obviously still one of the big things that is being twittered about in and around the Capitol. But the other thing continues to be the fallout from this book called Game Change, where two very prominent writers were talking to maybe 200 to 300 sources about what it was like on the 2008 campaign trail. Mostly it seemed to center around Democrats, but not all Democrats. Some had to do with John McCain and Palin and some other Republicans, but a lot of it dealt with Barack Obama and Joe Biden and the Edwardses, Elizabeth and John, and, of course, the big bombshell that has come out the last couple of days, over the weekend anyway, Harry Reid apologizing for comments that he made where he talked about Obama being a light-skinned Negro, and if he didn't use the dialect, if he didn't being light-skinned and if he didn't use the Negro dialect, he chose not to do that. Basically, he was talking about his chances of being elected. And immediately, the administration backed him up and accepted his apology. And you have to know the backstory on this, that Senator Harry Reid was instrumental in pushing Obama into running for president. He called him to his office and said, I think you should run, and got a lot of key members of the Senate, the Democratic part of it, obviously, to back Obama and not Hillary Clinton. Because remember, when she really needed those super delegates, they weren't there. And then eventually, that's what caused her to withdraw, because there was no way she was going to get the nomination, and the handwriting was absolutely on the wall. And he was one of the main orchestrators of that. So now, there's no way that they're going to go back, I think, on Reid. And that's all well and good, but everybody, high and low, continues. And I said this is not going to die down tomorrow. We're still going to see this in the next couple of days. Reaction to the, you know, how he described Obama and the words he used. Here is Donna Brazile, and she is, you see her a lot on the Sunday shows, and she's a key Democratic strategist. She was part of the team when Al Gore was going up against Bush. She was one of the key people that was trying to make it happen there, and she's helped on other campaigns as well. And now she's an analyst for I don't know which network it is. I want to say it's ABC, but regardless, she's a commentator on a lot of different shows. So she threw in her two cents, and she doesn't agree with what a lot of people are saying in the nation's capital and elsewhere across America about what Harry Reid had to say.
President Obama clearly cannot have a beer summit every time there's problems or the issue of race come up, as he did last year when the situation involving Professor Gates and Officer Crowley. I come from a very large family. I'm darker. My complexion is much darker than some of my siblings. And yet, as a child growing up in the segregated Deep South, we often talked about whether or not we could succeed given the complexion of our skin. We don't have the common language to discuss issues, especially issues like racism and the sensitivity around discussing race. And because of that, people often, trip over themselves.
All right, that was interesting what she had to say, that people often trip over themselves. I think that's true because it's obviously uncomfortable, and dealing even with the politically correct police and in trying to have a conversation and people calling foul on that, that's, I think, part of the huge problem. And she's right. You can't have a beer summit every single time. But I think what's happened is the president himself is the one who shut down the conversation on race. Remember, it never was addressed until after the Reverend Jeremiah Wright really forced the issue and forced Obama's hand when he was on the campaign trail. So what's interesting is, in light of what's now happened with the Reid comments, this poll comes out, a Pew Research Center poll, that showed that 1 year after the election of Obama, black optimism about America has surged, while Hispanics are more skeptical about race relations. So check out these numbers for what it's worth. 39% of blacks say African Americans are better off now than 5 years ago, according to the poll in 2007. So think about that, just a couple of years. Just 20% of blacks felt that way. 53% of African Americans say the future will be better for blacks. 10% say it will be worse. And it's different from the Hispanic point of view. The numbers are nowhere near that. 81% of blacks say more changes are needed to ensure equality, compared with 36% of whites, 47% of Hispanics. The poll found that Hispanics, not black Americans, now are seen as the ethnic group facing the most discrimination. 23% of all people who responded in this poll say Hispanics are discriminated against a lot, compared with 18% for blacks, 10% for whites, and 8% for Asians. Hispanics are less optimistic than other groups, as I already mentioned, about interracial relations. When whites and blacks were asked how well their group gets along with Hispanics, more than 70% said very or pretty well. In contrast, only 50% of Hispanics feel the same way. And what the Latino groups are, and this is where I get my hackles up, there's this theory out there that there are hate crimes that are being fueled by anti-immigration rhetoric. And see, this is the problem. There's a big problem between people who are in the country, we know this, right, illegally, and those who are in the country legally. And because in D.C. no one chooses to deal with the immigration issue, that's what fuels a lot of this fire, the illegal immigration issue. They just shelve it because it's too complicated. We'll talk more about that on the flip side.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look.
and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
A revolution in smoking is underway. A revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from 4 levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy 8 flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard round the world.
Coming up in sports and shorts, politics so much like sports. Kiffin leaves Tennessee for USC. Volunteer fans, I heard, are pretty much on fire over this. It's probably a better deal for them. But, boy, no problem. Dad's there. Have Dad. Will travel. Get a better offer. See ya. It's the American way. What are you going to do? All right, speaking of that, we're talking about this Harry Reid fallout and this new poll that says Hispanics feel like they're the minority group that is discriminated upon and that blacks actually have a much more optimistic view lately. And then the reaction far and wide about the book Game Change and the comments by Harry Reid, it's interesting, and the comparisons to Trent Lott and the Democrats basically backing Harry Reid. In a way, I think it's a no-brainer they're backing him because, look, this is the deal. Obama wants to get health care reform passed. Harry Reid is the key in that. He's part of that. And he's up for re-election in an election where it's not looking good that he's going to get re-elected. So he's not going to be around for much longer. I cannot imagine he'll be representing Nevada. It just does not seem likely. All right, leadoff man, Don in Wyoming. Hey, Don, how are you?
Kate, what a day. Holy cow.
So, no kidding.
You know, I might be able to turn Haiti, Harry Reid, the census problem, all of that, put it all into one story.
Let's hear it.
For you. Hey, by the way, I don't know if I ever told you, you know, I told you I went to Ecuador and Colombia, right? For the,
yes,
for
yes.
The church, right?
Yes.
I don't know if I told you that Harry Reid, one of his sons was down there with me. So.
Oh, I didn't know that, no.
I used to have a nice couple of conversations about how Democrats, how Mormons can become Democrats because, you know, Mormons don't believe in abortion, and Democrats support it. So,
right,
you know,
right. So that's an odd, like Orrin Hatch. It's a no-brainer, you know, what party Orrin Hatch. But you're right, Harry Reid. A lot of people don't realize that he's a Mormon.
But, you know, politics aside. But listen, I actually wanted to call and talk to you about this since I heard this thing going on with the census and the African Americans. I'm not wanting to be called black or whatever. Negro.
They don't want to be called Negro.
Right now.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk to you about the evolution of a certain word, and that word is black. And and I think this will explain the, you know, a lot of the misunderstanding, because as in English, there's a lot of words that we have in English that are actually Spanish words that we pronounce like English, you know, but it's actually a Spanish word. For example, Los Angeles is the Angels, which is, you know, but we call it Los Angeles, you know. Well, there's no word in the American dictionary called Angeles, you know, but
right,
we just
right.
call it that way, okay? So there's always been a lot of words that in between the two languages, and because, you know, primarily, well, prior to the American Indian, after the American Indian, you know, the Spaniards came first to the Americas, and then of course English came, you know, and French with the settlers. But explain what I'm trying to say is in English, the word black means black, as in a color, black, okay? In Spanish, the word is negro, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you interpret that word in English, you would say it Negro, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what happened. You remember the triangle, okay, when they were taking the slaves from Africa, bring them here, shipping the goods back to the European continent, and then going back down to pick up the slaves, and the big slave triangle that was going on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When the slaves left Africa and were brought here, they stopped off. They didn't come straight to the United States, okay? They ended up in present-day Hispaniola or Haiti, and which, you know, of course, we've heard what's happened there today, and Dominican Republic and Cuba, okay? That's why you have so many black people in those areas, because they were originally people brought over as slaves, but they never made it to the United States as a slave. And then they would go from, and then some of them, of course, would go from the West Indies, i.e. Hispaniola, those places, to the United States as slaves, okay? And what happened, is just the problem of the pronunciation of the word, in the sense that Spanish-speaking people would call them negros, okay? And that's exactly, there is no other word in Spanish to describe the word black. You see, we have two words here. We have Negro and we have black. Well, it's not. It's a Spanish word. It's called Negro. I mean, there's a city right across the border from Laredo called Piedras Negros.
Right,
you know,
right.
Black Rocks, okay? All right? That's just the way the word's pronounced. But, of course, when the English-speaking whites would, you know, the slave masters or whatever, slave ships, would pick up the slaves from the West Indies, they would bring them, and then became the Negro, or they would use the word Negro, when really they were just blacks, okay? And so my point, you know, and so then, of course, after that became, you know, if a black person or a slave, or as they were calling them back then, Negroes, would not behave, then became the derogatory words that are today are considered extremely offensive. You know, and but the point is I think you can understand that there's just a difference in the word. And so, you know,
But here's the problem. I get the origin of it, and you're totally right in what you're saying. But if the majority consider it offensive, then it's offensive. If it's like, okay, this is like, I'm sorry, we're just not going there with this word. We don't like it. I don't care what the origin is, whatever. We don't like it. So then that becomes what it is, and it gets associated. It becomes associated, you know this, Don, with hard feelings for a lot of people, and that's the problem in itself. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with the term African American. Their origin's Africa, American, and if they want to just call themselves Americans, but you know, some reason the census needs to separate, you know, classifications as to Hispanics or and we're all Americans, you know. I mean, they could just say, hey, we got 310 million Americans, but for some reason there seems to be a reason that they need to separate into, you know, your origin. I mean, my gosh, nobody's ever come up to me and asked me, where's your origin? You know, you're just white. You know, and I said, well, you know, other than on St. Patty's Day, I like to tell the Irish that, you know, I'm English and I'm superior to them. But listen,
here's the thing. You said this one time on the show, because we've been talking on the air for a long time, and I thought it was just, you were so right when you said this. Here's what the problem is. Let's start from this point of view. We're all Americans, right? I mean, that's what I don't get so much. Part of the problem is, where is the tie-in to Americans? We're Americans. And this is the problem now. A lot of Hispanics are up in arms because they feel like they're the discriminated group now. And the problem is illegal immigration versus legal immigration. I mean, that's what the problem is in a nutshell, and the government isn't dealing with it. They've shelved the whole, what do we do with illegal immigration? It's created a big problem around the border towns especially.
Yeah. You know, let me tell you one last thing about this, Kate, and then, of course, you know, the stuff that Harry Reid said was just ignorant. You know, my nephew, you know, his dad is black. He's African-American, you know, and my sister's white. You know this, and we've talked about it before. And, of course, my nephew came out brown. You know, Barack Obama's mother was white. His father was from Africa. He was black. It was Kenya, I believe. You know, and he came out brown. You know, and now we're going to start talking about shades of color. Oh, he's. You know, I mean, I can't believe Harry Reid said that. I mean, you know, politicians should know. You know, and how many times did George Bush get caught saying stupid things supposedly off the record, you know?
That's right.
And they just should know that, you know, when they open their mouth, they better make sure it's, you know, what they're saying, because there's somebody listening. But, you know, one thing I want to share with you is my nephew, the issue that he's African American has never been an issue in my parents' house. You know, he stays with my parents. And, you know, my parents are pretty much raising him. And you know, and he says, he goes over every once in a while to visit with his dad. And he's around, you know, a lot of African-Americans. And he comes back and he's just like, you know, he says they talk about it all. You know, he says they talk about it all the time, the difference between them, difference between whites, et cetera. And he says, we never ever talk about it here, you know. And I just don't like going over there because I hate listening to that, you know, stuff. And I said, well, Christian, you got to understand that, you know, in this country, it's the greatest country ever on earth, but there's a lot of different cultures that are in this country.
Right.
Okay? And it doesn't make, you know, just because they talk about it doesn't mean that, you know, that white people are better than them, or they're better than white people, or Jews, or, you know, there's so many different, or you know, you've got a Russian communities, you've got all these different types of,
cultures in this country.
And, you know, and that's the uniqueness of it, is trying to learn to get along and just
but what you just said, we're going to cut you off. What you just said there, it's the uniqueness of America. That's what makes us Americans. And now it seems like we're having problems grappling with that. Stay with us. We're going to talk about the full body scanners next.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQUA.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Arguments on detaining sex offenders. In case you don't know this, you know, when somebody served their term, there is a federal law that permits, we'll call them authorities, to confine what they call sexually dangerous people after their prison terms have been completed. Right now in the United States, there are about 100 people who fall into this category and are being held. And about 20 states have this law on the book. The case that's being heard is the U.S. versus Comstock, and it decides the fate, it's going to decide the fate of the Adam Walsh Child Protection and Safety Act of 2006. Now, basically, Congress authorized the civil commitment of what I just described to you, sexually dangerous federal prisoners who were due for release. So you've got about 100 prisoners that are held under this law. But last year, the federal measure was struck down on the grounds that the Constitution doesn't give broad powers, because here we get into the power struggle, to the feds. So five prisoners in North Carolina sued when they were confined for treatment after their prison terms ended. And you have an interesting group on the Supreme Court wrestling with this one, and it looks like the justices are leaning in favor of upholding the law. This is dicey because, as I so often back up the Constitution and don't like the idea of big government, big powers, big brother and all that, I also don't like the idea of what we've seen, these repeat offenders over and over and over again. It's almost, I mean, I get crucified for saying this, but when somebody is so sick and raging over the top where they've sodomized little boys and raped little girls, they should be on Misfit Island. Because we see this repeat thing that happens, and you talk to, and I've talked to psychologists, I've talked to people who have dealt with these parolees, if you will, and it's not good. The numbers are not good. The recidivism is, it's horrific, is what it is. So, this is a dicey one. Absolutely. As to what to do here. And with Scalia, who is obviously a staunch conservative, he says he has not developed new sympathy for criminals. He says the issue before the court, whether the Constitution gave the federal government the power to lock up offenders after they had served their prison terms, he says protecting the public against sexual criminals is a matter for the states, their police, and their prisons. There's no constitutional power on the part of the federal government to protect society against sexual predators. So that's where it stands on that one. Let's go to Mark, who's listening to us in Long Island. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, hi. We actually have a few cases in New York. There was a woman killed in a Galleria Mall in White Plains, New York. It wasn't a sexual predator, but it brought to the fore. We had a lot of guys that served their cases, but they wanted to hold them, and it'll be interesting to see how they rule. So I just want to mention that. Okay, I'm very upset, but before I launch, I just have an update on two topics. I was reading the Jerusalem Post, and Sam in Canada probably knows this. Remember how I told you imams wouldn't want you looking at their wives covered up in a burqa at the x-ray machines?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently the Orthodox rabbis in Israel have a problem with that also. I didn't realize that, the specifics of their religion, but they want only women looking at their women.
Right.
But there's also a defense company in Israel, a security company. They use eye scans, thumbprints, and enhanced sort of like interrogation to stop terrorism. So we don't need these back scanner naked picture things for us. So this is garbage. And but that's all I wanted to say. I just want to update you that on it.
Well, yeah, we talked about that. I forget where I read it. Something in the Times, the Los Angeles Times of all places. I think they had a thing on it.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of problems with this. You and I both know that with full body scanners.
Right. Ron Paul said that Congress had banned them. They passed a law to ban them in Congress. But the Senate has refused to act on it, probably because they're going to make money off of the senators and anybody else. But here's what I'm really upset about. There's two things, because this race issue with Harry Reid is sort of a sideshow. And even though I made a nice long topic of it last time I called, let me tell you something else, that there's someone in being considered for an office in Washington, and you just said that you were anti-big government. Guess what,
mm-hmm.
Kate? You and me, because I'm a Christian, because I'm anti-big government, and I'm not necessarily totally anti-abortion, but I'm against, you know, I have a problem with some aspects of abortion.
Right.
Well, this scumbag, who's being Southers, who when they wanted to be head of the TSA, who is a rogue FBI agent, he just called us out, Kate. I am steaming mad about what he said, that the TSA should be looking at anti-government type people, just like what Napolitano said. He's going after Christians. He's calling us out. Did you hear what he said, America? I'm curious. A lot of black churches, you listen up, America, black churches and ministers are against abortion. Is he going to put them on his list of people that should be watched? The Baptist ministers, their congregants believe in anti-government. They're Christians. This guy cannot be confirmed for this post. I want to ask him, sir, I want to call you out, but before I do, MS-13, is that not a problem in this country? The drug cartels, the gangbangers, the L.A., places in L.A. and other police departments in this country in the terrible neighborhoods, police don't even go into them because of the crime rate. And the last time I checked, they weren't militia members or Christians that were doing it. This is open season. Kate, we're living in a freaking prison. It's just, it totally upsets me. And if this guy ever comes to my town, don't worry, in Media Matters, I know you listen to this phone call, everybody else, local police, the FBI, I'm not going to say anything that's going to get me in trouble. But if I ever meet this guy, I walk right up to him, get past the security, and punch him in the mouth because he's a piece of dirt. And I don't understand why Obama's putting animals like this, excuse me, say animals, in places of high office.
Right. Somebody in that position at the TSA, there's got to be better. I'm sorry. There's better people that you could put there. We know this.
And here's something else. People that don't want to pay their taxes. Well, I mentioned to you, and this equates to what I'm talking about. People that don't want to pay their taxes are should be watched by the TSA. Well, Ed and Elaine Brown, the two old folks that were up in New Hampshire, they were convicted. Ed got a 37-year sentence in jail, federal prison. So he'll be past 100 years old when he dies. If nobody knows who they are, they were a couple that didn't want to pay their income taxes, and they were surrounded by the feds, and they were dragged into court. Okay, they're going to go to jail. Two American folks that didn't want to pay their taxes. But guess what? This is the other story that's got me so mad, and if you give me another minute. We got a tax cheat and a dirtbag by the name of Geithner, who is our federal, Federal Reserve. Treasury Secretary. When he was in the New York Federal Reserve, he told the AIG people, he was in meetings with Bernanke, he said, don't tell the government. So we have tax cheats who are in positions of high office, and we got people that don't want to pay their taxes, that the TSA guy is telling that they're un-American. You got an un-American piece of dirt named Timothy Geithner. I want him out of office. He didn't pay his taxes. So you know what, Mr. TSA, instead of looking at Christians and following what the Southern Poverty Law Center says and going after honest Americans that just have a disagreement with the way this government is being run, which is worse than what the Founding Fathers had to face, you ought to look in the freaking mirror, you ought to look at your president, you ought to look at Vic Geithner, because Geithner, now they're appealing. They don't want him to testify. You know, this whole can of worms is coming up.
It's coming apart because that's part of the reason that in talking about the appeals court in Manhattan as to whether or not to release, you know, this, Mark, the banks and the financial institutes that got bailed out, whether to release it. But part of the problem of releasing it is because it exposes Tim Geithner and others involved in deciding things that were the fates of some of these companies.
Also, don't want you to release. They don't want you to release how the big banks are actually.
That's right.
They've gone under. It will be a run on the banks.
Yep.
And that's why this is another thing that's very important. And I know I think too much. They're issuing full carry permits to these bankers at Goldman Sachs. I want to know if they are full carry. They're not for them to keep in their homes, whether they live in Westchester or Connecticut or New York City. What good is the gun if the banker can't carry the gun? So Bloomberg is a phony and a scumbag, and so are the rest of the people that issue these permits, because they're giving it to the bankers because they know, Kate, that the American people have woken up. They've stolen $27 trillion from us. They refuse to tell us where it's going. They all refuse to tell which banks in Europe got the money, where the money went, and that's why they're afraid of an uprising, and that's what I said, uprising. You don't like it, Mr. TSA? Kiss my ass. Thanks, Kate.
All right, so Mark on fire tonight talking about the TSA director who could be named as the TSA director, and I said the argument that we talk about so often here on the show and how the tentacles of big government versus states' rights, et cetera, how it breaks down and how it infiltrates different areas of our lives. And obviously the banking thing is a big one because there's a reason he's right in not releasing the information. They're worried about a run on the banks and how crippling that would be, but also knowing who got what and who was on the brink of falling apart and what big banks are in much bigger trouble than we actually know. You see a lot of people are starting to come out now in favor of saying, hey, go to the smaller banks, go to your community bank, get out of the big banks, for goodness sake. So in light of that, a senior administration official said that the president, this is news that's leaking out, so that the president is ready to announce a plan to recover Wall Street bailout shortfalls with a bank fee on the biggest financial firms. And they're supposed to announce it possibly on Thursday. What it would be is it would basically be designed to recoup about $120 billion or up to $120 billion because that's what we're expected to lose from TARP, from the big bailout. And what the levy would be a tax on a hefty tax on the bank bonuses. And of course the banks are furious about this, and the administration is again projecting the losses to the government, that means you and me because we bailed them out, will be about $120 billion, most of it due to the three dreaded letters AIG. Stay with us.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Americans have heard much about change in recent times and are now waking up to the truth. Well, here's a few facts about your food you may want to change. Did you know that nearly 100% of the food on store shelves comes from a few corporations and that most is genetically engineered, chemically sprayed, and transported great distances? Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company, like you, wants to see Americans change and take control of their own food supply, one seed at a time. Over 12 years, we've become America's premier supplier of pure, non-GMO seeds with over 1,400 varieties. Gardeners and homesteaders know Baker Creek offers some of the most popular seed collection kits, like our large heirloom kit with 60 full-size seed packets for only $99. The kit contains 25 types of vegetables and comes packaged in a metal can for long-term storage for just $99. Look for our free catalog today at rareseeds.com. That's rareseeds.com or call 1-866-OLD. Seed. That's 1-866-653-7333 today.
Set off John McCain. What set him off on one of the morning shows? The whole Sarah Palin deal and whether she was vetted out correctly or not. This book, Game Change, has ruffled a few feathers because a lot of politicians are finding out that they don't want to address things that have come out in this book, including the Harry Reid situation, but not just Reid, some of the other things we told you about with the Clintons and with the Edwardses and stuff about Joe Biden and how Obama felt about things that he was saying and all this other stuff. I mean, like, the list is so long. It couldn't be juicier from the political point of view. The two of them knew when they started to interview people that they had something there. And so, of course, it is creating a huge stir. I think this should actually, though, closer to home, create a huge stir. There is a law adopting statewide high school exams for graduation that took effect in Pennsylvania on Saturday. Now, check this out. The goal, of course, of ensuring that students leave high school but are prepared for college and the workplace. The deal is, though, the requirements have been so watered down that, you know, give me a break here. The situation in Pennsylvania mirrors what's happened in a lot of the other states that have these exit exams. So when the deadlines approach for schools to start making passage of the exams a requirement for graduation, the practice tests indicate that a large number of students would fail. So many states, what they do is, okay, they soften the standards. They know that the kids aren't going to be able to pass it, so they change it, right? I'm sorry, why have the exams if that's what you're going to do? What are you teaching these kids? People who have looked at the exams, which affect about two-thirds of our public schools in the nation, say they fall short of whatever the initial goal was to say what they learned, etc., that it's not doing that, that they're just challenging enough to reduce the graduation rate, according to one professor, but not challenging enough to have measurable consequences for how much students learn or for how prepared they are for life after high school. In 2008, state officials in Alabama, Arizona, and Washington actually delayed the start of the exit exam requirement. And then, here we go again, backdoor deals. They learned somewhere. They lowered the standards after seeing that most of the students, including a disproportionate number of minorities, would fail the tests. So that's unfair. But what's happened is the states have had some lawsuits. Some of those states have had lawsuits over the requirements because there's these accusations that the tests are unfair to students with disabilities, non-native speakers of English, and students attending schools with fewer educational resources. So this is the thing. Don't have the exam. You either have, if you're going to be a test society and everybody's going to go by this test, then you're going to live and die by the tests. If you don't want to do that, then you don't have the test in the first place. They're doing this. The schools are doing it so that they can wave the flag and say, rah, rah, 99% of the kids that graduate from this school are well prepared for life, whether they move on to college or not, blah, blah, blah. And it's ridiculous. The feds actually have set aside $350 million for states to create tests that correspond to the new national standards. There ought to be a different way, I think, to test kids, and that's part of the problem. So it's like the SATs and the ACTs. I mean, you know, it's a very murky, slippery slope. If they're going to have these exams, they have to be the way they are across the board. They cannot soften them for certain groups or soften them in certain areas because they want the results. That's cheating. Is that not cheating? Somebody tell me. Is that cheating? It is cheating. All right, on to what I promised. John McCain was on the Today Show, was interviewed on the Today Show by Matt Lauer, and the two of them went back and forth about, and it's because of this book, Game Change, about Sarah Palin and picking Sarah Palin as the VP on his ticket and how she was vetted out. And here's how that conversation went.
This other story making a lot of headlines this week, Senator, you've heard about this new book called Game Change, and you're kind of front and center in a lot of the chapters that seem to be a little inflammatory, so let me get you on the record about some of it. One is that your vetting process for Governor Palin before choosing her as your running mate was wholly inadequate. From page 363, it says, and I'm combining two quotes here, in judging Palin, it was relying on vetting so hasty and haphazard it barely merited the name. No one had interviewed her husband. No one had spoken to her political enemy. No vetters had descended on Alaska. Is it a fair assessment?
I wouldn't know. The fact is that I'm proud of Sarah Palin. I'm proud of the campaign we waged. She energized our party. She will be a major factor in American politics in the future, and I'm proud of our campaign. I just spent my time over where three young Americans were just killed in Afghanistan.
And I respect that.
And that was over a year ago.
I respect
and I'm
that,
not going to get into it.
But your comment that you just said,
it.
I wouldn't know, is somewhat surprising to me.
Well,
you were the presidential candidate.
Look, I wouldn't know what the sources are, nor care. I do know that I'm proud of my campaign. I'm proud of Sarah Palin. I'm proud of the job that we did. And I will always be grateful for having her as my running mate and the support we got from millions of Americans. I am not gonna spend time looking back over what happened over a year ago when we've got two wars to fight, 10% unemployment in my state, and things to do. Sorry, you'll have to get others to comment.
Well,
on
but
it.
others have commented. I'm just curious,
it's
were
fine.
You disappointed
they're
in Steve
you.
Schmidt, your campaign advisor, for going on the record on television and saying some of the things he said?
I am proud of everybody in my campaign. I'm proud of the campaign we ran. I'm so proud that I had the opportunity to represent my party in the election, and I'll always look back on that period with pride and with satisfaction. And it's tough, but I'm very happy, and I'm very happy in my new role in the Senate and going back and fighting a good fight.
All right, so that was McCain skirting the issue, skirting the comment from Matt Lauer, but good for him. If I were a politician and he was trying to keep nailing me on the same thing, McCain did say one thing that I thought was good. Well, I don't know the sources. You know, tell me the sources. In this book, Game Change, they don't really tell you the sources. They have this, what they call strong sources, but they are unnamed because they don't want to go on the record because some of them are well-known people. But there's enough credibility to them that they could publish what they published in the book. Therefore, that's a good comeback since you know that most of them are not on the record, right? So we move from that to Sarah Palin herself, who now is on Fox News. She's part of the Fox team. Basically, I guess I would call her kind of a contributor. You know, Dick Morris comes on Fox a lot. He comes on with Bill O'Reilly a bunch, and I think he's been on some of the other shows too. And it's funny, you think of Dick Morris and his role in the Clinton administration, and of all the people, almost unlikely, but he's actually pretty decent on Fox. So now Palin is in that same role as a Fox News analyst, probably the best way to put it. And they certainly know at Fox that she has an appeal to that audience, specifically their audience. There's no question about it. And like I said, Rupert Murdoch didn't become the trillionaire that he is for being stupid and putting the right people in place to run his network. So she came on the air and she basically talked about, she was on the O'Reilly Factor, and I watched it, and she talked about the sinking approval numbers for Barack Obama, and, you know, her comment was pretty much there's an uncomfortableness that some Americans feel toward the administration. I guess that was the big comment that I would pull out of that. She told O'Reilly that she hadn't seen the recent 60 Minutes report about her explaining that she was warned it contained a bunch of BS, so she didn't watch it. She said the claim that 60 Minutes made that she didn't understand the nature of her son's mission when he was shipped to Iraq was bogus, that they were, and she said that these are typical political establishment reporters who love to gin up controversy and spin up gossip. The rest of America doesn't care about that kind of crap. That's what she said. And so now she has a forum with Fox, and she'll be able to, go back. I'm sure she'll be invited on however many times during the week to talk to O'Reilly to answer questions, if it's not about herself, but just to talk about politics in general. And so far, it looks like the audience approves of her as an analyst on that network. All right, you can send me your two thoughts, or five thoughts, or six thoughts, or whatever it is, on that or any of the things that we talked about, to americatonight.net.
It's crazy.
We're talking about back in 5 minutes.
Just wait longer.